Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Sports Radio 610.
You should have had your mic on.
John Lopez. I can't, you know,
he was hitting that high note.
I can't sing over the intro.
Figgy,
I can't do
he was
that.
Hitting that high note.
Lopez, Figgy, and myself, Reggie, was at Atula hanging out with you. Obviously, a salute to recently departed Frankie Beverly, 77 years old. Big, makes me happy. It's just good vibes. Good vibes. Vibes, an interesting word to use here, actually, with our upcoming segment.
I saw what you did there.
Not intentional. Very unintentional. What is intentional, though, here in the 12 o'clock hour, at some point, you have to, I'm not going to tell you when. You just got to be listening. But we will be giving away a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shops. So you want to be listening and you want to call in when I tell you. Not a second earlier, but when I tell you. And I'll give you the phone line this time. I won't mess up. I'll make sure to let you know what the number is to call and all that. I'll do my job.
The question of the day is when.
That is true. The question of the day is when will I do that? I won't tell you just yet. All right. So vibes was the word that I used unintentionally, and it is worth examining what are the vibes here and why does it feel like the national media is getting a feeling of the vibes that does not seem to be the same as what we're getting on the ground. And who I'm talking about is Stephon Diggs, right? Why are folks committed to Stephon Diggs being the bad guy? 713-572-4610. And there was a reason why this came up.
Yeah, man.
You, right?
It pains me. It hurts me more than it hurts you, Nick Wright, because because that's my guy. Like, absolutely. That's my guy.
Former co-host,
he sat right where you are. Just great friend, great dude, all that stuff. But before we hear from Nick and kind of the counterpoint from Greg Jennings, like a lot of times we talk about, sometimes too much, you know, media bias, all right? And I'm not even talking about politically. You know, I have nothing to do with that. They're just like they're biased, or they hate the Astros, or they hate this, or they hate Houston, or all that. A lot of times it's phony. But there are instances where it is very real. And I feel like this is going to be an ongoing story with Stephon Diggs, an ongoing story that we're going to have to mostly, and I think probably all season, will dispel, like this bias about Stephon Diggs is a live wire. Stephon Diggs can't be happy. Stephon Diggs is going to be, you know, there was another one on Sunday where he was talking, you know, animatedly.
Yeah.
On the sideline.
I was saying that too. Are they doing this on purpose?
Yes.
I feel like they trolling.
Yeah. No.
It might be.
No. I think, and look, we're media guys, and I'm telling you right now, I think it's media bias against Stephon Diggs. And a lot of times people want to make themselves right. You know, they pull for a certain something. I'm not saying I'm excluded from this. Like, because you have this hot take or this opinion or whatever on a particular issue, you're kind of pulling for that issue to be right, you know? Whether it's a prediction.
They're waiting on the car accident.
They're waiting on the car accident. Good way to put it, Figgy. Like, people have been predisposed to say, like, Stephon Diggs is this. Even though he's not that here. I see you putting a dollar into the bucket.
I'm just getting ready. I can't wait
to see what's coming.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, they are so hell bent on making like Stephon Diggs this live wire. He's going to be a problem. He can't be happy, etc. Character when he's not. He just flat out. And we could be wrong in week 10 or whatever, but he's not. He's not that. And to hear, you know, Nick say this, it pained me.
So, Nick, are you still worried about Stephon fitting in?
Well, yeah, listen, I think Stephon's a combustible player, and I think he is certainly not going to be the number one option on his team for the first time since his rookie year, and we'll see how he deals with it. And even when he says money downs, one of the most underrated important plays of the entire weekend, C.J. Stroud's first, like, oh, if he wins MVP, I'll think back to this moment, the 3rd and 11 to ice the game. They're only up 2. There's 2 minutes left. It's 3rd and 11. Indy has moved the ball at will. Anthony Richardson's just firing balls downfield. And he throws to Nico Collins on the sideline, and he gets it. What I found very interesting was how Bobby Slowick used these guys, because these numbers are jarring, which is how far did the ball travel in the air on average when it was thrown to you?
Right.
For Stephon Diggs, that's not a misplaced decimal, less than 2 yards.
That's good roll.
For Colin, exactly. This isn't a negative. Okay. For Nico, 16 yards in the air, Tank, 16 yards in the air. They are using Diggs, Greg, you speak to it better than me, as a technician, route runner, sure hands, and they're using the other guys as a big play.
All right, so the place where I will say that I agree with Nick, right, is I did find it interesting the way that they were utilizing him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that the perspective that he starts from is because that man is combustible, because that man wants the ball in his hands, the way that he's being used is not going to be up to his expectations.
Right.
I think that's the assumption part, right? Mm-hmm. Is the assuming that we know the way that his brain works. And I understand that then a person on the other side of that would point to, okay, well, we've seen it happen in Minnesota. We've seen it happen in Buffalo. And I feel like those situations require more context and more diligence in the way that we view them.
Yeah.
Minnesota, I don't know, was exactly that. Buffalo usage mattered, but I think that it was also like an understanding of they're kind of excluding me from the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm becoming a decoy. That's not quite the same as they're using me in a very particular way here.
Right.
And there was it felt very intentional to get him the football in some ways. The reason why I went ahead and started getting this dollar out of my pocket was you mentioned the idea that, hey, man, he seems animated. And I think some of that then speaks to it, right? From the 713, they texted in and said, what I've realized about Diggs is he's an animated talker who doesn't have a media filter. He is who he is. So when he's on the sidelines trying to pass on wisdom or bring up something he's seeing, people immediately take it as him complaining or simply being.
Yes. Well,
that is very much reminiscent of a Dallas Cowboy. Money into Texans helmet. Dez Bryant had this issue as well, where people were like, oh, man, he's over there being a diva. He's demanding Tony Romo throws him the football. Dez Bryant was on the field being almost like preacher man, like, hey, guys, we gotta lock in. We're going to do great. Keep your head up. But because of the way that he talked and the mm-hmm. way that it seemed, and then that additional framing that happened on the outside because of who he was, how he looked, and the way that people perceived him, it then was taken and spun forward as, oh, he's being negative. He's being detrimental to team. He's being cancer. And it wasn't that. And so I see that also with Stephon Diggs. And so I agree that I think that hurts the framework in that we're assuming the way that his brain works with the usage and where those
but
things
are. But that's that inherent bias that a lot of people have about him. And he said combustible, which he could have used a lot of words there, you know, but he said combustible. We haven't seen that. What we've seen, and we all have either that friend or that acquaintance. I can think of one old friend of mine right now that is just like every time he talks, it looks like he's angry, but he's not.
Brother, I'm a Nigerian man.
Yeah.
That's my people to a T.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, why are you yelling at me? I'm not yelling. I'm giving you a compliment. I'm sure you know. I know you know some
guys. Are you talking about Nigerians?
No, well, no, them. No, I'm not.
What? Whoa. Hey, hold on. Wait a minute.
Hey, I ain't going to lie. Nigerians be loud as hell sometimes.
We do. We're loud people.
But I'm not thinking of a Nigerian, but I'm thinking of an old friend of mine that he would come into the room and you're like, what's he upset about? Nothing. It's just how he talks. Like he talks like
aggressive.
Like aggressive is a good way, but just sort of like animated and it looks like he could snap it in. No, that's just the way he is. That's Stephon Diggs. And then let's talk about this 1.6 yards that he averaged, per reception here. Maybe this is because we are close to this team and we've seen it throughout camp in the preseason. That can change Sunday.
Yeah, that is true.
Like they were throwing fade routes, deep middles, you know, all they're not going to set those aside and say, okay, he's a decoy or he's a dump off.
It could be a week by week thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
This week, it could have been Nico Collins. Next week, it'd be Tank Dell.
Now, they have their defined roles. Nico is going to stretch the field.
Yeah.
But exactly. Stephon is going to do that as well.
He's
going to
get his time.
Yeah.
And I think that was where, because we're basing this off of, mm-hmm. I mean, Nick Wright.
First things first,
FS1. And was it Greg Jennings?
I think it was Greg Jennings.
Greg Jennings
kind of rebutted.
There you go.
Do we remember a couple weeks ago when I told you exactly what these three were going to bring to the table?
I thought I said that.
Stephon Diggs was the route runner. He's the precise guy that he's going to get the ball on third downs. He's going to be that possession guy. That's exactly what they're doing. They have the big play guys.
Once again,
like this is why I believe he's going to thrive this year, because when you have a guy under center like C.J. Stroud who has the ability to make any and every throw, we've seen that, and be as big play moment as we've seen in this league as a star goes under center, and you have three guys that can get the ball down the field if you need to, can run any route on the route tree, one guy who can create unbelievable separation in Tank Dell, and you got a guy who can make contested catches, and another guy who's your third kind of option, second kind of option, and Stephon Diggs who can run routes, make contested catches, and just be sure-handed for a quarterback, it's a win-win situation. Why would he be combustible? No, he's not.
It's also the reputation, which we get.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you have a reputation of, and quarterbacks always get
reputation at the position as well. Like, wide receiver is diva.
Exactly.
Right?
But, like, we've seen Tom Brady throw tablets and get in somebody's face and do all this and, like, oh, look at that competitor.
I hate it so much.
Look at that competitor.
I hate
he
it
is.
So much.
Because he has this preconceived reputation of a competitor. Guess what Stephon Diggs is? A competitor. But no, he's combustible. No, he's a diva. No, he's that. And again, not to ignore, didn't leave on the best of terms, at least according to some, not him, Minnesota and Buffalo. Dude, this is not going anywhere. And it's a bias. It's an inherent bias.
Right, and I think the competitor note is a good one, because I think some of this, again, comes back to the idea of, hey, man, he wants the football in his hands, and does he want it too much? And it reeks of, like, sports talk. It's us. Mm-hmm. Like, we are the issue. We are the problem here, right? Because the idea that if he did not want the football enough, then we come on the other end and like, hey, why don't you want to be that guy, right? Yeah. And so we have to find – you have to find the magical middle line here where you want the football a lot, but we also are afraid that, or we don't want to feel like you want the football too much to the point where you're going to derail it. And all parties involved, and then you might say that, hey man, the parties involved are not inclined to go this far, but all parties involved are in a place where they're like, hey, we like it, we think that this works, the ball will get around, this will all work out. Quarterback, wide receivers who in theory, when it comes to like touches and targets, would be in competition with them. Mm-hmm. The play caller in Bobby Slowick, like the head coach, who is very much a vibes guy, right? Yeah. When it comes to D'Amico Ryans, everybody is in on this and feels good about this. And so I don't know why we are so, or when I say we, like people on the outside are so hell bent on saying that this will go wrong, especially because even if you have a more negative perspective, and this is something I brought up, mm-hmm. if you have a negative perspective that yes, he is invested, and you've made it a contract year and he's invested in getting his touches, the touches will be there.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that what the issue is then in making him a villain in that way.
And then the other thing, and I mentioned this yesterday, he had six targets. He didn't catch all six balls, but that was partially because of the defense, maybe the throw, whatever. I don't remember them all specifically. But you got 8, 7, and 6 targets from your top three guys. You're good with that. I mean, maybe on another given day, you're not running the ball 30 times, so it's going to be, you know, 11, 10, and 9. 11, 10, and 9. So, yeah, like he's – oh, and oh, by the way, 2 touchdowns. I mean, he got a touchdown. You know, it's just fascinating, and I wanted to bring it up because we need to kind of brace ourselves. This ain't going nowhere because it's already entrenched in a national narrative. Okay, they're doing great down in Houston, but watch Stephon. Dude, I watched him on the sideline. That wasn't an argument. Yeah. That wasn't complaining. That was Tom Brady-esque, you know, like an intense dude. And it wasn't even as far as Tom Brady.
And my thing is, why would he be complaining?
Yeah.
Like, they wasn't getting blown out.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing if they was getting blown out and he ran the wrong route and CJ threw a pick and all this other stuff. Like, they was in the game, man.
I still think
it was after a touchdown.
Yeah, and to go circle back to a word that I used early on, the vibe seemed to be great. You see him and Tank Dell arm in arm after the game, recording something for the NFL social
like
media.
Like, walking off the field.
They're excited. They're happy. Like, you can see those things, like, you know, those types of things. I understand everybody this time of year has those kind of high vibes, but I think also just the incentive structure is one. that he's going to be bought in.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, he's a captain, man.
Yeah,
he was just bragging about how happy he was to be a captain.
Mm-hmm.
So why would he be complaining week one?
He wasn't. That's my point.
My thing. Like, why? Like, if you're a national media member, I mean, maybe they not really dug in into the Texans to see, like, inside what's going on. But, like, why would somebody be complaining week one like this?
It doesn't make any sense at all. And, by the way, he didn't throw a tablet. You know, he didn't get in anybody's face on the bench, which we've seen. And I'm using Brady as an example. That's just the first one that popped in mind. But we have a lot of players.
Hold that, Brady.
Yeah. We have a lot of.
Aaron Rodgers wasn't even looking at his offensive coordinator.
Oh, could you imagine if Diggs did that? I turned his head away.
Well, this is the thing, right? Brady or Rodgers might not be a good one because people legitimately don't like him, right? Like people aren't giving him very many passes for things like that. To be completely honest,
yeah.
But yes, your point is well taken for sure, man. It's gonna be fun to watch this season because of, like, the capabilities that they have. But yeah, this is just gonna. I guess this is part of it, right? Like, this is part of being a team that has this level of ability, this level of aptitude. And it's gonna be the storylines have to come with it, right? And so we'll see, and very hopefully, and it'll be very exciting to watch as if Stephon Diggs is very much capable of like putting these storylines to shame, and you know doing so in a very fantastic way. It'll be fun to watch. But there you go. That's you're listening to In Loop Sports Radio 610. Not just yet. On when it comes to the $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shops.
The question of the day is when.
Yeah, keep it locked. The question of the day is coming, mind you.
Oh, this hour?
It is coming this hour as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
As will the giveaway. So yeah, we'll do that. But coming up next, the time is now when it comes to the lunchtime confessions. We'll do that.